Luke chapter 24, verse 49. This is the reading of God's word. And behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Grant us an ear to hear your word and work in us. Without the work of the Holy Spirit, all is in vain. So let us truly hear so that our faith will grow and we'll be more like your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, by your grace, that your word will be preached correctly and all of us not only hear but believe and obey your word. And Father, we ask that only you will receive all the glory. We pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, in verses 46 and 47 of Luke chapter 24, our Lord has summarized for us the content of the Bible in just three things. And you could come up with many more than these three, but in those verses, this is what our Lord has done. First, the Christ will suffer. Second, Christ will rise again from the dead the third day. And the third, the repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. All are, even the third thing that we just mentioned, all are the works of our Lord Jesus Christ. But the gracious thing is that he calls his disciples to participate in his work of proclaiming the repentance for forgiveness of sins in his name to all the nations. But he also called us. But here, the fact is that the disciples and us, we simply do not have the power, do not have the ability to do this work. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16b says, "Who is adequate for these things?" No one is able to do this. This is why we see Jesus Christ tells his disciples in our passage, verse 49, "And behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Because without the work of the Holy Spirit, disciples will certainly fail. We will fail. So God promises the Holy Spirit, and they are to stay put until they receive the Holy Spirit. In verse 49, the Holy Spirit is described as the promise of my Father. Ephesians 1 verse 13 calls the Holy Spirit the Holy Spirit of promise. Jesus tells the disciples to stay in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes to them. And only after the coming of the Holy Spirit, only then they are to go to the ends of the world to be witnesses of Jesus Christ. And why do they need to wait for the Holy Spirit? Just like what we have already said, they do not have the ability to do the task that Jesus is giving them to do. They just don't have the power to handle this work. The Holy Spirit must come. Like what verse 49 says, they need to be clothed with power from on high. Coming of the Holy Spirit to them is the same thing as they being clothed with power from on high. You see, the Great Commission is not something that the man and woman are able to do, because it is the work of God. Of course, God uses man and woman, but it is God's work. It is God who is working through these people. This is why they have to wait until the Holy Spirit comes. Micah chapter 3 verse 8, on the other hand, I am filled with power, with the Spirit of the Lord, and with justice and courage to make known to Jacob his rebellious act, even to Israel his sin. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. You will receive power, power to carry this task, power to do this, but only when Holy Spirit comes. Don't ever think that you have power to do it on your own. Oh, there are a lot of things, even non-Christian, they are able to do. But whatever they do out there, it's not pleasing the Lord. If we are to do the work that pleases the Lord, that we cannot do it on our own. Now, this is not to say that before the coming of the Holy Spirit to the church on the Pentecost, the Holy Spirit did not work. God's accomplishment of the eternal salvation of his people is exactly according to the order of times, the order of periods that he has set. So Jesus comes, and through his death and resurrection, he accomplishes the salvation of his people, and he ascends to heaven. Only then the official period of the pouring of the Holy Spirit comes. The period of being clothed with power from on high comes. And here, when the word power is connected with the Holy Spirit, it does not mean the power of this world, the power that this world recognizes. No, it is power of God that accomplishes the salvation of his people. See, when these people look to the true churches that scattered all over the world, they don't see power as they know it. Maybe that's why some churches, they want to show that power, the power of this world. And they operate the church just like the world would operate their businesses. But the true power is not something that the worldly people can recognize. So, because of all this, the disciples was wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit. And before we go on, there is a minor thing that I must look at we must look at the Holy Spirit. Question is, who sends the Holy Spirit to God's people? Is it the Father who sends him, or is it the Son who sends him? Well, there were some big arguments within the church, and I don't want to go into all that. Let me just say, the Bible teaches that both the Father and the Son send the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14, verse 26a, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name." Luke chapter 11, verse 13, "How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Clearly, those verses say that it is the Father who sends the Holy Spirit. But John chapter 15, verse 26, "When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father." John chapter 16, verse 7, "For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." Now those verses clearly says that it is Jesus Christ who sends the Holy Spirit. So we conclude, both the Father and the Son, they both send the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, verse 33 says in this way, "Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured forth this which you both see and hear." Now, we saw many times that the new creation that Jesus Christ accomplishes, just like the first creation, it is through the Word of God. See, when you read Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, "The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters." So you see the Spirit of God, you see the Holy Spirit, then God speaks, "Let there be light." Thus God's word is spoken, and then the Holy Spirit creates it by that word. The new creation is the same. It is the work of the Holy Spirit through God's Word. That's how you and I are saved. Recreated in the image of our Lord Jesus Christ, you and I, we are the new creation. And just like the old creation, God's Word and the Holy Spirit. You and I, we are recreated as the new creation by the work of the Holy Spirit through His Word. Same thing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5, "For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Spirit, and with full conviction, just as you know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake." See, the task of proclaiming the repentance for the forgiveness of sins in His name to all the nations is through the preaching of God's Word. But without the work of the Holy Spirit through God's Word, all is useless. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4 and 5, verse 10 and verse 13, "And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God." And this is why when you see me and you conclude, "Man, that guy, He just doesn't, he's not skilled in this or that. More things like that you say, the true, more true that you will see what God is telling us. If I don't have any of those gifts and yet you hear God's word and somehow by God's grace that you grow, then you know it's the power of God. It's not what I did or my power. And I don't believe I have power to change it. If I do that have power, that means I have the Holy Spirit in me, working in me. And some people are so, like, they're so impressed with the, you know, beautiful words and it, but that's not power of God. Even little kid speaking to you, if he speaks the truth, Holy Spirit can use that to change you, to bless you. And that's what we need to do. We have to show that it is the power of God, not some man's skills or talents or whatever. For to us, God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. See, Jacob and I know that the thing that we have to focus more than anything is that we pray as we preach God's word. Man, I could give you the best sermon in the whole universe and it will not benefit you at all if the Holy Spirit is not working. My satisfaction is not, oh, I preached a good sermon. No. The question is, are you benefiting from what I preach? Meaning, is Holy Spirit working? Otherwise, what's the big deal? And the true church, you guys, is not a building. Building is not the church. It's just building. The place, a building in which we gather to worship. But we are gathering in heaven no matter where we gather in this world. The believers are the true church. You guys are the true church. The true temple of God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20 through 22, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being together into a dwelling of God in the Holy Spirit. So God uses the figure of building to describe the true church. We are being built into the dwelling place of God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 and 5, and coming to him as a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. See, God is building his own church, his own temple. And here is the promise of our Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 16, verse 18. Upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. You might hear some people who's quite old and rich, and he might tell you things like, oh, you know, in my lifetime, I built 5 churches. But the Bible clearly says, Jesus says, I will build the church. I will build my church. Yeah. When you're referring to this church, don't say, oh, it's Pastor Kim's church, because it is not my church. It is Jesus' church. This is why I need to do what he says. I cannot do what I want. If it is my church, then I could do what I want. But I know it's not. It is Jesus Christ who builds his own church, and Jesus is building his church is through the Holy Spirit by the Word of God. This principle, that it is by the Holy Spirit, by the Word of God, God has been shown this principle to us even from the Old Testament. Exodus 31, verse 1 through 6, they are called to build a tabernacle. And this is what we read. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, see, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, and the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all kinds of craftsmanship to make articles designed for work in gold, in silver, in bronze, and in the cutting of stones for setting, and in the carving of wood, that he may work in all kinds of craftsmanship. And behold, I myself have appointed with him the son of Ahishamach of the tribe of Dan, and in the hearts of all who are skillful, I have put skill that he may, or they may, make all that I have commanded you. See, they are to make the tabernacle just as God has commanded. But nobody has power or skills or anything that is needed to build exactly according to what God has said. And if God says to build a certain way and you make one mistake, you think God will be happy? You think God will accept that? But we're looking at in the Old Testament, you know, context. God says what? That he will fill the workers with the Holy Spirit. And he will put skills that the workers may make all things that God has commanded exactly according to that. Meaning, it is God the Spirit who will accomplish it. The building of the church is the same. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. And it is through his word. Jesus told us what the Holy Spirit will do when he comes. And this is important. How do we know whether Holy Spirit is present in this church? Jesus told us what he will do when he comes. John 14:26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. So Holy Spirit will teach and bring to us or them remembrance of the Word of God. That's what Holy Spirit does. John 15 verse 26, when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. What does the Holy Spirit do? Well, he testifies about Jesus Christ. It's clearly said here what Holy Spirit will do. And how will he do that? Testify about Christ. Through God's Word. John chapter 16, verse 7 through 8 and verse 13. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. So he will convict the world and guide his people into all the truth. And what is truth? The Word of God. So we know what Holy Spirit will do when he comes to church. Everything that he does is connected with God's Word, and he will testify about Jesus Christ. Do you think our church is doing that? Well, then you know Holy Spirit is in this church. That's exactly what Jesus said the Holy Spirit will do. No, it doesn't say the Holy Spirit will somehow fall you backwards. All the things that I see out there is ridiculous. Everything that the Holy Spirit does is connected with the Word of God. But the disciples of Satan, they are different. Matthew 24, verse 24, for false Christs and false prophets will arise, will show great signs and wonders, so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. Has nothing to do with the Word of God, but they will show great signs and wonders to mislead God's people. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9 through 12. That is the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan. So he's talking about Antichrist coming with all power and signs and false wonders. And with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. For this reason, God will send them upon a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false, in order that they all may be judged who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness. Do you understand? It's clearly written in the Bible. When the Holy Spirit comes, he will testify about Jesus Christ through God's Word. All the false teachers, they're going to perform all kinds of miracles. False wonders to deceive you. If you could find Bible verses in the New Testament that is contrary to what I say, please bring it to me. Because if it is in the Bible, then I have to change my views. But if it is not in the Bible, then there you go. So in chapter 2 of Acts, we see the coming of the Holy Spirit just as Jesus Christ has promised. And because it's so hot, and let me skip that section. What Peter is saying as he sees what is happening in Acts 2, coming of the Holy Spirit, he is saying that the Old Testament passage, like Joel chapter 2, is accomplished. Meaning, the kingdom of God has come, the end time has already begun. Because that's the period that God has set for the Holy Spirit to be poured upon His church. With the coming of the Holy Spirit, the church is now sent out to the ends of the world. Only after the Holy Spirit comes, we are now sent out. The church is called to participate in the glorious work of our Lord Jesus Christ, gathering His people unto heaven. See, Jesus was sent. Then you expect what? I told you already, everything that happens to Jesus, it happens to us. If Jesus was sent, what do you think it will happen to us? Who will be sent? But who will be sent in Him? John chapter 17, verse 18. As you sent me into the world, He's talking to His Father. As you sent me into the world, I also send them into the world. Always Jesus. Jesus is the reality. Everything, you know, you wonder, what has happened to me so far by being saved? Well, you look at Jesus Christ and you look at what happened to Him. He died on the cross. We have died with Him. Well, He was resurrected. Well, we are also resurrected in Him. He ascends into heaven. We are already ascending to heaven, seated at the right hand of God with Christ in heavenly places. See, Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and at His baptism, the Holy Spirit came to Him, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, He accomplishes all the works of salvation. He was clothed with power from on high, even Jesus Christ. That's why we read Luke 4:14. And Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about Him spread through all the surrounding district. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed Him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with Him. We are the same. We're not conceived by the Holy Spirit, but we are born again, born from above by the Holy Spirit. And He came to us. You read this. We are born again, born from above by the Holy Spirit, and He came to us, and we are clothed with power from on high. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God, who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Our adequacy, our sufficiency, our competency are all from the Holy Spirit who works in us. We are qualified only because of the power of the Holy Spirit who is in us. Two things you need to remember because of all that we have said. We cannot be proud. We cannot boast. Because it is the Holy Spirit who is working in us. Don't ever think that you have the power and ability on your own. And somehow God needs you. And without you, even God cannot accomplish whatever he wants to accomplish. That is not how it is. We're so happy that God uses us, but he doesn't need us. He doesn't need anybody. And yet, we're so thankful he does use his church in his work. So you cannot be conceited, but at the same time, don't be discouraged. Thinking that you just cannot do anything. What are you saying? Even with the power that the Holy Spirit gives you, you cannot do this? No, with the Spirit, you will be able to do it. So two things. Don't go to two extremes. Trust God, because he is the one who is working in you. Colossians chapter 1:29, this is what Paul says. For this purpose I labor, striving according to his power, which mightily works within me. And God also uses God's word to teach and train us. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 17, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, the correction and training in righteousness. So, you see the two things already, just like Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. There's a Holy Spirit. And God speaks. So, all scriptures are inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, training in righteousness. So there is Word of God. And the Holy Spirit lives in you. If you... I say this a lot, but I want you to have this in your head, clearly. If you could, in your head, just shorten your whole life to 1 second. God speaks to you. Even today, he speaks to you. I brought God's word to you. You hear his word. Just like Genesis 1, let there be light, but you heard, be like Christ. And who is in you working? The Holy Spirit. If you could shorten your life to 1 second, here's God's word, and Holy Spirit accomplishes it. That's what your life is all about. You come to church to hear, let there be light, let there be light, let there be light. And the Holy Spirit works in you, and there is light. That's what your life is all about. You hear God's word all your life, and exactly according to that God's word you hear, you're going to be. Because the Holy Spirit uses the word of God to accomplish His purpose in you, in His church. Our life is just like Genesis 1. Everything that He speaks to us throughout all our lives, you hear His word. And that's exactly how it's going to be, how you're going to be. Bible guarantees it. Never lose hope. You will be just like Christ. Bible promises. Everything that I say to you now, and I don't know how long I've been I will be preaching, but everything can be summarized. I'm keep telling you through His word, be like Christ, be like Christ, be like Christ, and you will. It's not like you need to doubt or, you know, wonder, am I really going to be like that? Don't think when you hear God's word, like say, be like Christ, and you go, oh, man, what do I have to do? I have to do this. I have to do that. I don't think I could ever be like Christ. Man, your whole thinking is not biblical. Keep telling you, it's not your power. It's not your ability. It's the work of the Holy Spirit through His word. Hear the word and believe. And even that is the work of the Holy Spirit. But by His work, believe, and you will be. When Jesus comes back, or when you die and go to heaven, you will be just like what the Bible says. Every commandment that God gives you, you're going to be just like it when you go to heaven. Guarantee it. This is how we live, by faith. That's why every command that I read in the Bible, I'm so happy, because that's exactly how I'm going to be. But some people, when they hear the command, they're frustrated. They're actually, it becomes a burden. Oh, I cannot be like that. That's true, you cannot, but God will make you. Am I saying, okay, then you don't have to do anything, just go home and sleep all day? Am I saying that? If God is really making you more like Christ, you will not do that. Brothers and sisters, the power of the Holy Spirit, His work through His word, is amazing. One day, a guy like me, this sinner, and if you know the sin that I commit, when nobody's watching, in my heart, in my mind, man, I don't even think you're going to talk to me, because I'm so filthy. But you are the same. I know. But even a guy like me will be just like Christ. That's the gospel. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You. Oh, it's truly amazing grace. Oh, Father, we trust You. We believe in You. You created the whole universe with Your word, by the work of the Holy Spirit. Let us learn the principle that even the new creation is the same. And Father, you have also, you have already made us new creation, and you are making us even now a new creation. And one day that reality will be visibly consummated. We thank you for your work in us, in your church. Let us never lose hope, always trusting you, always live by faith. We thank you and we love you. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.